All right. Let's get this out of the way first. The thoughts, views, and opinions expressed on Tailboard Talks Firefighter Podcast are solely those of the speakers, guests, and host, and do not in any way represent the thoughts or views or opinions of any other employer, partnership, or sponsor. The material and information in this podcast is for general information purposes only and should be used at the listener's discretion. Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Fourth Shift Tailboard Talks. My name's Chris from Fourth Shift Firefighter. Welcome back to the show. We're in the garage today, which lends nicely into our topic. But people, today we're talking about something I've really started to recognize the need for, and almost the absolute dire need for in the past 2 years or so. And it's such a hurdle for me mentally, and I think a lot of us, that I really just started taking action on in the past year maybe. So I can certainly understand if some of the things I talk about today don't resonate, or if they resonate deeply and you're just like, "Ma, that makes a lot of sense, what's going on." But it's the need for something that's all yours. Nobody else's. No one else has input on it. It's not dependent on anybody else. It's all yours and it's for you. And it's tough. And it's such a hurdle for the fire service to have something like that. But it's so essential. So essential. We know now about things like compassion fatigue and just burnout in general, and the signs and symptoms of those and what those are. And the balance, the work-life balance that's supposed to be there in a lot of cases is not. Kurt and I have talked about it before. For a probationary year, yeah, you have a supreme lack of work-life balance. In fact, we tell people, like, this should be your absolute most important thing for the next year. Live this. Immerse yourself in it fully for the next year. But there's still like 29 to 34 more years left after that first year. So what do you do, right? And it's beaten into us just time and time again. Like, you're here for the public. You're here for the citizens. Contribute more to the community. Contribute more to the department. You're just a piece of the crew. The crew is important. Serve, 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 right? And that's all true. It's all important. That is the linchpin of the fire service, is service. It's a service industry. It is. But if we just live that the whole time, then we end up having nothing for us. And that's what can really send us down the path of being burnt out or developing compassion fatigue and then having no way out of it. If we wrap our entire identity in the fire service and in your station and your crew, that's a good thing to a point. But you got to have something just for you. And so that's what I want to talk about today. And one of the common things that works against us with that is time. Because our schedule and the time allowance is one of the greatest assets and also one of the biggest, like, potential pitfalls that we can have as firefighters. We have so much time off in weird chunks. You take one day off of work, you get 5 days off, right? And so it's only natural if you're a go-getter and if you want to do stuff and you're not coming in this thing with, like, a family that takes up a lot of your time or already have a side business that takes up time, it's very easy to be like, "Well, I might as well do something in my 2 days off." And then eventually someone like, "Hey, you want to make some extra money?" You'd be like, "Yeah, I do." And now you're just working. You're working your shift. You're working away from shift. And you have no hobbies. Let's just call them hobbies. I guess that's a good word for them. You have no hobbies. Today's episode is all about finding your hobby. And that might sound a little corny. Maybe I won't say that because it sounds a little corny. But when I start to describe it, I think there's some really good value in it. Okay. So I took a lot of notes on my phone today while Nathan was in gymnastics. Because this is something I've been struggling with. Like I said, until 2 or 3 years ago, I really didn't see a huge need for it. We didn't have kids. You know, Nathan's about to turn 5. So before that, we had dogs. We were able to go do what we want whenever we want. We can make our own time to go do our own thing. Katie was working full time. I had the job at the fire department. So it was just like, yeah, there's plenty of time to do stuff for you. Then you have kids and you almost don't want to do stuff for you. You want to be around the kid. And you have a second kid and you're like, "Okay, this is kind of what I do now. My day's off. I have the kids." And if, it's not like Katie just hands them to me walking the door. She calls it the default parent, which I think is like an actual term. But that becomes like a thing. So you lose your hobbies. And it's even a joke. Like when we hear some guy is going to have a kid at the fire department, we're like, "All right, we'll see you in like 5 to 7 years when you're released and you're on probation again from your family." You're just like, everything goes away when you start having kids. So that's the kind of thing, like, I don't expect this to resonate with everyone, but even if you don't have kids, even if you don't have a family, even if you don't have a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever, this is still very important because us as public servants get drawn back into service. And it's only natural that you're going to start filling your time with more service-oriented things because that's what kind of we're naturally drawn to do. And you can still lose yourself and lose all your free time and lose all of your potential things to do good stuff for yourself by giving it to others. So let's all just kind of figure out how this episode works for you. But that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today, is finding something that's just yours, no one else's, okay? A different topic that I'm going to get into in the future is with my friend Patrick. He's been on here before. We talked about promotional testing, and that's the pitfalls of getting a hobby and then turning it into a business, because we've both done that. I mean, that's what you're listening to now. But there's some certain downsides to that too. So it may seem like a natural attractive thing of like, oh, I like doing this thing. People also like it. Maybe I'll make some money doing that thing and involve other people and make money doing it. There's some downsides, and we'll talk about that in the future, but different conversation for another day. So when you're looking at your quote unquote hobby or the thing that is going to be just for you, right? And maybe did I go in enough explanation of why that's important? So it's just for you. Like we don't have control of our schedule at work. When you get home, depending on what your family situation or whatever is, you're on their schedule again. I can say like, okay, Katie's here. I'm going to go work out for an hour or go ride the bike or go do this or record a podcast. But the kids don't know that dad's busy doing stuff. They just want to do stuff. And so then I get pulled away from that. There's a ladder in the backyard set up on the swing set right now because Sawyer, as soon as I started climbing it to fix the swing set, she would break something, have to go to the bathroom, or some other catastrophe happened. So I got 2 out of 7 bolts. That doesn't make sense. 2 out of 10 bolts tightened on the swing set, and the ladder's still sitting up there. Very perilous for the kids. I understand. Don't report me. I'm just saying these things happen. You have less control of your time than ever before as your family and you and your obligations start to grow. So things I would look for when you're trying to find this thing, if you're like, yeah, you're right. All I do is serve other people. My time's all taken up. Busy all day long, but I still feel like I didn't get anything done. That could be because you didn't get anything done for you. You got a lot of stuff done, but it was all for someone else or other groups or whatever. But getting just one little thing done for you can make all the difference in your mental well-being, okay? The first thing I would look for is that it's something that when people ask you why you do that, you say, because I want to do it, not because I have to do it. I'm choosing to do it. It's 100% choice. And if you don't do it, nothing bad happens to yourself or anybody else because you didn't do it. No one's counting on you to do it. You're not counting on anyone else to do it. It's something that even if your friends say, no, I don't want to do that, or they ask you, why would you want to do that? You still feel strongly enough to do it. And then it gets down to the little bit down there on the list here. Nobody benefits from you doing it besides you, and it's not paid or incentivized. As soon as you start looking for payment or incentivization to do it outside of yourself, some external stimulus to do that, that's when it can start to turn over into an obligation. Because now you're like, well, if I'm not going to get paid to do it, I'm just not going to do it. It's not worth my time. I'll just sit around and do nothing. When before, you're like, I don't care if I'm getting paid or not. This is something I really enjoy doing. I'm just going to go do it. So even benefiting from it, if I wanted to like approach bike companies, right, and say, hey, I'm doing all these races, I've been training, I have a firefighter lifestyle company that has a podcast and it started as a fitness company, I fit right in, why don't you send me some gear or sponsor me for my races, right? It changes then too, because now you're like, well, okay, I got to do some training rides, I got to go to this thing, when I'm there, I got to make social media posts about it, I got to it turns into work. It turns into work very quickly. So when you're looking at something that can be all yours, just make sure it's all yours, okay? It's not someone else's. You're not doing it on behalf of someone else. No one's paying you. It's okay if you don't do it. It doesn't impact anybody really positively if you do it. And you'll do it alone. That's the big one I have written down here, is you will do it even if no one else wants to. When you go to find your thing, you do need to be realistic, though, about some constraints. And the two biggest ones are time and money. Do you have time to do this realistically within the structure of the life you got? And do you have the money to do it the way you want to? There's nothing wrong with starting small. I mean, I had a whole episode on it, last episode, about thinking and starting small with your ideas and your impact. There's nothing wrong with starting small and building up over time. You don't have to dive in the deep end right off the bat, but can you do this thing the way you eventually want to do it? And do you have the time to actually do it? It'd be super weird for me to be like, I want to go do an Ironman now. I don't have the time to do it. And I certainly can't afford it, but that's going to be my thing. Like, that obviously does not fit. So it's just going to fail. It can't be my thing. But like a 30 to 50 to 70 mile bike race, ride for me, race for them, I can do that. I got the bike. The training segments are short enough. Me and Katie can kind of work out a schedule, and I can do that. I can afford the entrance fees. I can afford the equipment. It's all good. So that's within striking distance, right? So just remember your time constraints and your monetary constraints when you're trying to find your thing. The other thing you have to look at, or what I would encourage you to look at, is where do you find happiness? And I'm going to boil that down to introvert or extrovert, just for simplicity's sake, right? But that can guide you down the path of like, should I join a team or should I go do something solo, right? And contemporarily, introvert and extrovert have been kind of confused, I think. When people say, are you an introvert or are you an extrovert? A lot of times what they're implying is like, are you talkative or are you quiet and shy? Or are you withdrawn? What it traditionally means, or like, I don't know, clinically, but the textbook of it is, when you want to quote unquote recharge your batteries, do you prefer to be around people? Or do you prefer to be solo? Oh man, the memory card on the camera just filled up. Why do I do this to myself? So we're flying audio from here on out. Do you prefer to be solo or do you prefer to be around people? And that can really drive it, right? And it's different for everybody. If I use hockey as my example of my just for me activity, right? When I'm feeling drained or overstimulated or exhausted or whatever, do I look forward to the men's league game where there's going to be a bunch of people there and it's going to be exciting and a lot? Or I do look forward to finding a quiet rat skate where I might be the only one there and there's no goalie and maybe someone else will show up, but I can just have an hour of ice to myself. Personally, I go for the hour of ice to myself, or the smaller thing, the less stimulating of the options. But some people, their outlet, their way to recharge, their way to find happiness is going to be around people, going to concerts, going to games, going to league events. If that's your thing, then that gives you at least a path to start on of which way you want to go with this thing, right? Now, I just said in there, their outlet, which is kind of weird to me in the context we're talking about, because I feel like it's almost an inlet. I feel like outlets are what we're doing all day long. That's why we have this problem. What we need is an inlet. We need something to give us happiness back. We're giving out all we got. We need something to fill us back up. Nathan has this book, now I'm just going off my script here, called The Invisible Bucket. And it's about this kid, and his grandpa tells him, don't you know you have an invisible bucket above your head? And every time something bad happens or you feel bad about yourself, a drop falls out. And when your bucket's empty, that's when you start to become not a nice person towards other people. But if you help people and people help you, every time something good happens, a drop falls in your bucket. And when your bucket's full, then it's like the best version of yourself. Everybody's happy around you and you want to see people happy too. So the kid goes through a school day, his bucket empties first, obviously, because you got to teach a lesson. And then his bucket fills back up by the end of the day. I feel like this is the same conversation. We don't need more outlets, right? We need some inlets. We need some happy stuff coming back at us, and some solitudes in some cases, some energy in other cases coming back at us to make us really happy. So with those two things, introvert versus extrovert, and also the time constraint and the money constraint, you can start to narrow this thing down. And we got guys in my department who do all sorts of things. I already said I've used hockey. And coincidentally, because of the time constraint, I've kind of shied away from that because it's just a long time to be away from home, I feel like, in the middle of the day. I use hockey. Now I'm using biking. I've used fitness in the past. Some guys use fishing. I wrote them down here. Some guys love jujitsu. Some guys use gaming, music, writing. Some guys restore cars. Some guys are mechanics on the side, not restoring, just like a motorcycle mechanic kind of deal. So there's all different sorts of places you can go with this, but it's got to be something that's all yours. There are very few things in your life that will be all yours. Right now, I got like two. I have my backpack that I usually hide when I get home. And I'd say 50% of the time I have this space in the garage and then maybe the space in the office. And I only say that because the reason I'm in the garage right now is because Katie's finishing the office, so I don't have a desk anymore. So even that space that was built purposefully for the podcast, for me to do work in, right now I don't have. It's not mine. So as you get whatever, established in your family, or your family grows, or whatever happens in your life, or you start getting involved in more and more things, you get less and less stuff that's just for you. And that's kind of what I wanted to focus on this week and center this talk on, is find something that's just for you. And I'll run down the list again, just to be redundant, just to say it again. Find something that's all yours, not dependent on anyone, does not impact anyone. You will do it alone. Nobody benefits from you doing it, and it's not paid or incentivized. And when somebody asks you, why do you do that? You say, because I want to. Not because I have to, because I want to. If you're feeling stressed, if you're feeling overwhelmed, all I do is give, or I have no time to myself, it's worth the effort to go find that thing. It's worth the effort to go find that thing that's all yours. That gives you satisfaction, it gives you purpose, belonging, whatever you're looking for out of it. Whatever values mean a lot to you, and whatever rings home to you, there is something out there for you. It's likely not part of the fire service. I would encourage you to get out of the fire service bubble to find this thing. That's what I'm doing with biking. I went to that race, I went to ride, they were racing, in Nebraska in February. Good job. In February. And at the time I told the story, we got a new camper. Katie wanted me to take it out for a test weekend just to see what it was like. I found the bike race on the same weekend. Nobody knew me. Nobody knew what I did for a living. Nobody knew anything about me. I got to show up. I got to contribute, have fun. It was just for me. I barely put anything on social media. It was just something for me. I went alone. It had a lot of purpose for it besides shaking out the camper, okay? So if you're struggling right now with something like that, find your thing, man. Find your thing that you're into. I have one more note here at the bottom that one of the major hurdles of this thing is that point that it doesn't impact anybody else. That's a tough one, especially if you do have a family or a significant other, or even just stuff to do, right? That just means that conversations have to be had. Your partner, your spouse, or whoever, if they see you doing something that makes you that happy, they're going to want you to do it. Even if that means that they got to take a little extra time out of their schedule, assuming they get it back on the back end, to let you do that thing. If they're the kind of person that says, I know you really like doing that and it makes you really happy, but no, yikes, man. It's a different conversation to have. But when I go talk to Kate, I'm like, hey, I joined this race. I really want to do well in it. I really like riding the bike. I want to figure out a schedule that I can do 3-hour-long rides a week, and 2 of them can be in the basement. That's fine, but I just want 3 hours a week to do this. We work it out, right? It's 7:30 at night. I've done rides at 9 o'clock at night because we're just busy with the kids and stuff all day, and that's when I can do it. It doesn't mean it's going to be all on your terms or you get to set, I want to do this, so I'm doing it. That's what I'm doing. No, it's going to be an agreement, man. It's going to be a system, but it's possible. Okay, so just takes a little more communication, just takes a little bit of talking. You can figure it out, but it's so, so important. So I encourage you, if you're feeling that way, to figure it out, okay? And good luck. Good luck with it. I hope you find it. It's helped a lot with me, having something that's all mine. My bike's sitting there up on the wall. Nathan can't grab it and ride it. Katie doesn't care about it. Nobody can mess with it. Nobody else fits on it. It's all mine. And that feels really good. All right, guys, I think I forgot to do in the beginning. Please go visit my affiliates, Rescue One CBD and Fourth Frontier. They have the X-True monitoring strap, and Rescue One CBD has 0.000 THC, safe for the job. If you like the show and you're listening, man, thank you so much for listening. Go check out the Buy Me a Coffee link. I put it on social media sometimes, but also it's on the show notes page and on the YouTube page and on my website page. Thanks, guys. Thanks for hanging out. We'll see where we are next week. Maybe in the garage, maybe the office. Maybe you'll even get a full video out of this one if I remember to clear some space on the memory card. All right. Let's all keep working on Twitter. Lurk. Just be good. I'll talk to you later.